Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. Hello and welcome to this episode of Honestly, sponsored by Vodafone. It's split into two halves. My first guest is with none other than Emma Bunton. Yes, the Emma Bunton. I try my best to keep my cool, even though I was a huge Spice Girls fan growing up. 12-year-old me can absolutely not believe that I got to do this interview. In fact, 38-year-old me can't believe it either. Anyway, the reason for our chat is that Emma is one of Vodafone's digital parenting ambassadors, and so we dig into what she's learned on their programme when it comes to digital parenting. We chatted about navigating social media with kids. We share our concerns, particularly around screen time during lockdown. And I asked her how she thinks that being a Spice Girl would have been different had it have happened in this digital era. She went on to tell me about her very first night as Baby Spice, and it was absolutely fascinating. Then, during the second half of the episode, I chat to Charlotte and Eva Robertson, founders of Digital Awareness UK, who share some expert insight on privacy, setting boundaries and oversharing online. This episode was really useful to me and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Okay, hello Emma.
Hello!
In true irony, just before we start talking about digital stuff, we've had a right old issue with the technology, haven't we?
A little bit, yes.
It happens every time.
What were we saying? We should have just get the kids in to sort it out. They're usually better.
Those kids are so smart. How do they know it?
I don't know.
It's magic. I've got to the point really that I can't even use our TV remotes very well.
Well, it's weird as well because I think I've got something on my phone that works the TV as well. But luckily, my other half is a lot better at these technical things than I am. So I tend to drag him in to help quite a lot.
But you just suddenly become really aware of your age when you're like poking at stuff. And it's like, oh, how have I become that person?
I know, trying to keep up to date. We're trying our hardest.
So I always do a quick fire round to get us into it and then we'll go properly into the digital parenting chat.
Okay.
Okay, what is your best kind of potato? As in not the breed, that would be niche. As in how would you like it cooked?
I'm going to have to, oh no, it's mash.
Oh really? Because mash is great, but it can, if it's done badly, it's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I think as long as it's got like a ton of butter in it, I'm happy. Butter with a bit of potato.
But my dad likes to keep the lumps in.
I'm not happy. But a roast as well. You can't beat a roast.
So I've asked this to a few people. You forget that chips are in that, in that category. And you really can't not have chips
That's
as your number
true.
One.
Yeah, very true.
So chips. Are you a winter person or a summer person?
Winter. Autumn.
Are you?
Winter. I like my favourite time of the year is that kind of, you know, that beautiful, bright sunshine, but really crisp and cold where you can wear layers and go for walks. I love that. You know, in the summer, it can get a bit hot and you've got to get your bikini on and it's just, you know, it's hard work.
Yeah, it's true because I'm like a diehard summer person, but actually it's about the blue skies, isn't it?
That's the thing. Brightness, yes.
We say as we're recording in deepest, darkest winter.
I know.
If you could have more of anything, what would you have?
Time. I think, especially after having kids, I feel like there's just not enough time in the day to kind of get everything done. And also sometimes just have, you know, an hour on your own kind of watching, you know, catch up stuff on TV or just, yeah, time, definitely.
It's like there's a whole chunk of your life that we're both in the middle of where you're literally scrabbling constantly, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like an unbelievable energy just to keep up.
Yeah.
One day we'll rest. Everything's going so fast. What star sign are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Are you? I could go full weirdo astrology now, but we've just moved into the age of Aquarius, which is a really big deal.
This is the dawning of the... What are you?
I'm a Pisces, so not dissimilar.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Creative, over-emotional.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, over-emotional is, you know, is, yeah, that's my thing. That is my thing. And my other half's Aquarius.
Really?
Yeah, we're both Aquarius, but it seemed to work. We've been together 20 odd years.
Congratulations. That is no small achievement.
I know. I know, especially in this world of celebrity. But yeah. No, I think we're best mates. We're similar, but, you know, but different. And yeah, it just works. But yeah, Aquarius.
So Aquarius, I won't go too down on this line, but Aquarius like kind of a bit of their own time as well. So maybe you're quite good at observing that in one another. It's interesting that you're the same.
Yeah, we're the same. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do. I think, but we spend a lot of time together
and we
quite enjoy that. But we can sit and not talk, you know, and watch telly and just, we know each other very well, which is good.
It's almost like you're in love.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, if you're talking like that at the end of this year of someone you've been together with for 20 years, hats off to you.
I know, I adore him. He's great. He's absolutely brilliant.
Oh my word, I'm going to make you cry. Ridiculous. Just happy for other people to be happy. Is it harder to be honest with yourself or honest with others?
I'm definitely honest with myself. Because,
really?
Yeah, I'm quite an open person. I'm honest, and I think, but sometimes, yeah, I need to kind of teach myself that a little bit.
And yeah, as the older you get, the more you get to know yourself, but the harder it is to break the habits of yourself.
Exactly. I think I'm getting better. I think, you know, because obviously your priorities change after children, you also kind of, you know, you have to kind of just get on with things and you've got other priorities. So you tend to become last on the list sometimes, but I'm definitely getting better with myself. I give myself that space. I try and, you know, speak to myself a bit more often. I'll try.
Yeah, that is true. If I'm still in the bit where we've still got nappies in the house, basically, but you're kind of coming up a little bit for air, aren't you? Where maybe you can go, oh, okay.
Absolutely. Yes, I
check back in with myself.
Yeah. I'm on that end.
I can't imagine, but it's coming. It's coming. And then I'll be sad. You know, this is the thing, isn't it?
That's the thing. You just can't win. I mean, it was a real tug of war when my kids start kind of growing up, because I'm constantly grabbing them still, cuddling and, you know, not wanting that part to end. So, yeah, it's a kind of
difficult.
It's a struggle.
Yeah, my 8-year-old, I wanted a cuddle with, and I struggled to physically get him on my lap now. And you're like, and you're going to become, a big grown-up one day.
It comes back, actually, it comes back.
Does it?
You have those moments where they're a bit, and then it comes back. I mean, my two are so affectionate and cuddly and warm. And yeah, and I've got, you know, a 13-year-old, so I'm happy. Bo is so, you know, just wants cuddles all the time and affectionate and open, and it's lovely. But yeah, I went through that. I think it is around the 7-8 mark.
Because they feel like they're a bit grown even though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's reassuring. One last of the quick fire, although we're not doing very big quick fire. What do you wish you'd known as a kid?
Oh, lots of things. But I think, I don't know whether a kid, but that kind of, oh God, even not that long ago, just to be a bit more kind of carefree, not worry so much. I'm a little bit of a worrier. And now kind of, especially this year, what I've actually tried and installed in my kids, I just, have fun. Don't even think about, worry about that. You know, sometimes they come home from school and they're like, Mom, I've got this test tomorrow. And I'm like, listen.
Doesn't matter.
Does it, you know, really, in the scheme of things, all you can do is your best and try hard and let's put some music on and dance around the kitchen and forget about tomorrow. I'm trying to install that in them.
That's so true. And I do actually worry about that a bit with this generation, because they are unbelievably, not our kids, but the ones who are like teens, proper tweens and 20s now, they're so clued up. And I admire them so much. But then you're like, wow, if you're that on it at that age, like, when
there
is this?
There seems to be so much more on children's shoulders these days, isn't there? Especially, you know, as you get older. But Jade and I were talking the other day and it was like, we'd be out on our bikes for hours, and just not a care in the world. And now even, it seems, even in the holidays, you know, they're given a bit of homework it's like,
it's true.
Just get out, get out of the fresh air. And yeah, I think
it's like anti-parenting, isn't it? It's like, no, you should really stop worrying.
I do feel like that sometimes. We've got homework. Well, we're not doing that today because
don't bother.
We're making gingerbread.
It was definitely far less complicated, for sure.
Absolutely.
Or it felt that right. Right. So the reason we are here is to talk about digital parenting. And actually, this is quite a good
like loop over. I spoke to my audience on Instagram and 89% of them were worried about digital parenting, which I mean, I think we all are. And it's for the reasons that we're talking about, in that we're navigating something that didn't exist, did it?
Yeah.
Like, this is very new. And I think the double challenge is we're navigating it for ourselves.
It's new to us as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's really hard to teach your kids about something that you don't really confidently know that you've cracked yourself, I think.
Yeah. And I think, especially with the Vodafone digital parenting, was that actually we learned together as a family. The one thing I've learned from this, it's talking, being open, sitting down with the kids, having a bit of a laugh and teaching each other. And I think once you're kind of in it together, that's what made it a little bit easier, because it's so overwhelming, isn't it, to keep up to speed with everything.
Yeah.
And Jade, I think he felt like he was, you know, quite good at it all and had a grasp on it. But actually, he learned a lot too once we sat
really?
Down and had kind of those conversations.
I mean, you're in a different position because you came onto social media as a celebrity, but I came onto Instagram putting pictures of my kids because at that point it was just my friends and family following me. And then as my audience grew, I've taken them off. And you can't know until you know. And also, people often say, why did you start taking them off? I was like, because one day that felt like the right thing to do. Like,
yeah.
You've got to trust your instincts on it, haven't you?
Oh, I think that's so important, trusting your instincts. And the thing is, you know, I try and just have a bit of balance where, you know, I'm proud. So now and again,
That's what's hard. I want to show them off.
Exactly. So I think this year, them being able to play their games with their friends has been their way of connecting with friends.
Yeah, I think that's it. We've all had to have a bit of a reset, because you could say, oh, we don't need technology. We've absolutely relied on it. You know, all of us did those weird Zoom quizzes at the beginning of lockdown.
I know. I became good at Zoom quizzes.
I feel like it's such a British reaction to like extreme pressure. I know, guys, to cope. We're gonna do a quiz and it will make us feel all right. So weird. But you know what? In fact, I ended up having an impromptu Zoom with a bunch of girls that I haven't seen in real life for a year, and it's not the same as human connection, but we can't underestimate that equally it is unbelievably important to connect with people.
I thought it was funny when we did the Zooms, because I did the same, so I'd hook up with all my girlfriends or as couples. Actually, it became quite nice, because usually, you know, you're in a loud bar somewhere, you get 5 minutes talking to each person, you know, whereas this, we were like, hey, there's no, yeah, we can actually talk for a couple of hours, and it became quite nice, I thought.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no way we could then, I think it's good for us to see for our kids that we can't deny them that with their friends, can we? I think it's really easy to go, like, be so anti-screen time, but that's just not realistic.
It's not realistic. And I think for me personally, we do have boundaries. So generally during the week, they don't go on. And then the weekends, they have their time with it. Friends, or my youngest loves a bit of TikTok, but also it's all about making sure that it's private as much as we possibly can. So all of their games and TikTok and stuff like that, it has to be private. I do get questions from my kids though, why my friends aren't private? But again, we sit down, we're just like really honest, and we try and do it obviously as sensitively as possible, but you know, talking about kind of things that do go on. But I think they totally understand now. So it's just about boundaries. And I think that's been quite important, because they understand that now, how things work. Then I'm able to trust them if they want to play for a bit longer with their friend. Yeah. So we have that understanding. They always come to me and say, can I have 5 more minutes, or can I speak to this person? I think that, again, you know, we go through all of those things. And I'm very lucky at the moment. They're both very willing to be open with me. So that's what I'm
saying. So that's good.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's other just smaller boundaries, isn't there? Like, we really try not to have screens at mealtimes. And again, with everything parenting, I'm not judging how anyone else does it, but you have to decide what are the things that are sacred to you.
Yeah,
and stick
absolutely.
To it.
Have your own boundaries, have your own rules. Everybody is so, you know, different, and we don't judge that at all. It's difficult though when you know, go out for, well, you haven't done it for a long time.
But if
you
go out for once upon a time.
Families, Yeah, and all the kids are there with their phones, and my two are looking at me like, "Mom, no, come on, let's get double out." I was like, but when you get home, you know, you can go on for a bit, you know. So it's just that kind of thing. Yeah.
But you touched on it there. There's such a piece on role modeling here, and mine are very quick to say to me, "How can you do that? Because you're on your phone all the time." And then I'm like, "Well, it's work." And my own personal boundaries is trying to know when I'm working and online and when I'm literally scrolling. And we do know in ourselves, you can feel it in your body when you're just absentmindedly scrolling, can't you? And you're like,
100%. Drives me mad sometimes. I'm like,
what are you doing?
What am I doing? Like, this is, yeah. So again, I try and give myself boundaries. Again, you know, it just helped when we did the pledge that I pledged as well to make sure that I didn't have my phone, you know, during the week as much as possible, or just, you know, I would have an hour a day to look through, you know, things that I enjoy doing and then, you know, try and make those pledges with the kids. And we did that together.
Do you have any hard and fast rules? I have my phone set up to time out at 9 o'clock, which I sometimes override, but I do try and have like at least a good hour before I go to bed. Right? And I don't have my phone in my bedroom. I leave it downstairs.
Oh, that's another rule for all of us. We don't have phones in bedrooms, which sometimes...
Don't you? Yeah, I think that's a hugely beneficial to keep phones out of the bedroom if you can.
Yeah, well, we didn't used to, but that didn't was you? Another rule that we made recently. And I think it just... It helps because it can be the first thing you do. You know, your alarm goes off. You pick up the phone. Yeah. Oh, I've got messages. Oh, who's on, you know, who's on Insta today? You know, it's just so, I think that made a big difference.
This is a whole new world, and it's changed a lot, even, yeah, in the essence, the advent of social media. Do you reflect on what the Spice Girls would have been like in this era?
Yes, I do.
It would have been mad. I mean,
have been mad. And I think being... so young.
How old were you when you started?
Just 19 and so young. And I think, I don't know how I would have dealt with it back then with the social media, with the pictures, with I've said it before, but I remember the first time I was out with friends in a club, and I saw someone with a camera phone and they took a picture of me, and I thought, oh my goodness, like, that's it now. That is kind of privacy.
Yeah, no boundaries.
No boundaries. Your privacy's kind of done, you know. And it frightened me. That frightened me a little bit, because in the celebrity world, of course, you're out there, you put yourself out there. But there's those moments where you would like to have time with your friends and not have someone being intrusive. But that kind of went in that moment. Our first tour, obviously, was just, you know, it was incredible. We were young. We just had so much fun. But I remember looking out to the audience and just seeing faces. And now, obviously, when you do a tour, you just see phones. And
you're wow, like, I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, and you're just like, wow, I personally really hope that you're also taking this in, because I do the same. I go and I take pictures and I'm thinking, hold on, I'm not kind of processing this in my mind as
a memory. You're not present. No, you're thinking about what you're capturing. And then I do always wonder, when you film loads of stuff at a concert, what do you actually do with it? Because, you know, it's quite a weird thing to then put it online or to look at it later. It'd be so much nicer just to be present in that moment.
Yeah, but it's so hard, isn't it? Because now I love looking back at pictures and videos of my kids, and so it's about having that balance, I think.
But you're right, because in the era that the peak Spice Girls time, you still had a line between work and your normal life, whereas now you would be a Spice Girl all the time, wouldn't you? That you'd have, every time you're
I am a
down,
Spice Girl all the time.
You are, of course. It's in your soul. It's in your soul.
In
I understand that, but you know what I mean. There would have been no off time. And also, it's part of the job now, isn't it? It's like that would be an expectation.
Absolutely. And I think that's why getting a grasp with social media, kind of knowing what's going on, having your privacy, that's really important. It's really important for everybody. But, you know, obviously being a Spice Girl then and kind of now would have been very different, I think.
Yeah, it would. I mean, you were the biggest thing in the planet then. So, yeah, it's kind of unthinkable, actually. Yeah, of course, I'm going to be crazy, nostalgic for that time. Because I quite like that it was, your idols were still separate.
Yeah, I miss the posters on the wall, not just on my phone.
So I was peak fan, and I used to smoke at school because I'm a rebel. And I had, didn't you do a collaboration with like Impulse or one of those kind of body sprays?
Yeah, and we were naked in the advert. We weren't obviously.
Were you?
But we looked naked in the advert. Yes.
I mean, that must have been quite boundary breaking, wasn't it, at that time?
I think it was. Yeah. I mean, we did have clothes on while filming, but the way they shot it made us look like we were naked.
And then it said Impulse or whatever it said. I remember it anyhow.
Yes. All you need.
Yeah. So it's like that lovely smell of like whatever I would have been smoking. Benson and Hedges laced with that.
Oh my goodness.
With that on top. It's like, yeah, definitely my mum could have smelt it. But
wowzers.
Very naughty. As a
very
mum now.
Naughty.
Yeah.
I know. It's always, so look how we moved on and how we know these things now. It's just crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's so difficult. And actually, when I was asking my audience about this subject, it's like we want to be protective, but we don't want to be overprotective. We want to, you know, keep an eye on what they're doing, but also allow them to feel this out a little bit for themselves as well, because there's no point just being eyes on all the time. You've got to kind of give them the tools, as you say, to learn their own boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love my kids just to live in my house forever and ever.
You know, would you?
I'm so protective over my children. But again, it's a good balance because my other half is, he's brilliant.
More relaxed.
He's more relaxed. And I'm, yeah. So I think we have a good balance there.
In terms of learnings, what has 2020 and COVID and this mad experience that is still not over taught you, do you think?
Well, I don't know if it's taught me, but it's given us time. It's, as I said at the beginning, I wish I had more time, but it's given us that time to, you know, sit around as a family. And I love having my kids around me. I mean, obviously they go to school every day and that's really important. Yeah. But sometimes I'm like, I want to give them a day off just so I can
hang out,
know what's going on, you know. So this, it's been a learning curve for all of us, I think.
I think pre this, we were very guilty of filling our lives with doing stuff. We used to go away at the weekend so much and we used to always be trying to do stuff. And actually being forced to be at home more than ever before, it feels a bit more reminiscent of some of our childhoods and when we didn't do these things, you know, and you learn to entertain yourselves, don't you?
100%. You know what? In fact, my mum said that to me the other day. I was like, oh, mum, we're going to go for a walk through the woods and then we're going to do it. And she was like, Emma, you know, sometimes you can, you know,
do nothing,
sit at home, bake or watch a movie or, you know, let them play. And it's like, yeah, you've sometimes just got, because that's what we used to do.
My eldest two love drawing, but they follow YouTube drawing tutorials all the time. And for a bit, I was like, oh, I wish you wouldn't do it via YouTube. But you know what? They then are sitting there with a pen and paper in their hands for whatever amount of time. And it's just, that is where we need to remember that things have just changed. It's not this evil thing to be worried about. It's just different, isn't it? And our parents were worried about MTV.
Yes.
And now
I'm watching music videos.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were worried that was going to be the beginning of the end.
Exactly. No, but that's so right. Like the same with us. And I think it's about once you know and you've learned a little bit and you can sit and talk to them about it, you feel much more at ease because you feel like you know what's going on. I think when you feel out of control and you know you're a bit frightened of what's going on socially online, then that's when it all becomes, you know, too much. But if you learn about it and know about what they're watching and what you can enjoy together as well, that's a big thing, then you feel much more relaxed about it all. I mean, you know, it's not easy and it takes a while to kind of all sit down and figure that out. But once you feel at ease and you can put your privacy bits on and you can do all of that, then you can sit back and feel a bit more comfortable about it.
It's so true. Yeah. The chances are they are just looking at endless slime videos. Ugh. Right. As we get towards the end, two more questions. I mean, most people will know the answer to this, but where can people find you on the internet? And is there anything you particularly want to shout about at the moment?
I'm Emily Bunton on Insta. Yeah. And it's been kind of obviously a crazy year for everyone. And firstly, I'd like to say a massive thank you. I feel like people have been, you know, so sweet and messaging and checking kind of on me over this time. And I just think that's felt really, really special. So thank you to them. And like everyone else, you know, being mummy first and foremost, I've got a baby brand, which we've been really busy with, Kit and Kin. We do sustainable nappies and natural creams. And, you know, we've been working a lot with the food banks and stuff. So that's been really important for us to kind of make sure that's been
I see what you've done. You can keep hanging out with babies then, can't you?
I know.
That's a clever clever career twist.
It's the way. I know. Both my kids have asked for a baby this Christmas. And I'm not, right.
Ooh, I mean, that's a really big ask.
They're desperate for another sibling. And also, every time I see a baby, my ovaries skip.
Do they?
And my other half is desperate. But, you know, wow. I think I've had two beautiful, healthy babies. So, yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, so it's a big, it's a really big deal. It's a big ask. And last question, because the name of the podcast is Honestly, if you could have an honest conversation with one person, who would it be and what would you say?
An honest conversation with one person. Oh my goodness, I've gone blank.
What was your first instinct? Maybe you've always been honest, you know?
Yeah,
your younger version of yourself?
Myself, maybe, yes.
You grew up so much in the Spice Girls, you know. One minute you were a person at school and then and now you're here. It must just be absolutely mad. Did you go to an audition? Is that how you became a Spice Girl?
I was at college at the time. I was doing a performing arts course.
Oh, were you?
And yeah. And my singing teacher said to me, oh, there's some girls who are together and one of the girls going back to university. So they need another girl. And I just went along and sang to the two managers at the time. And yeah, and then I just moved in with the other girls. But they'd been together for a while. Luckily I clicked in and it worked.
Did you ever finish your BTEC or did you not feel you needed to do a performing arts BTEC once you become a sponsor?
I finished that, thank goodness.
I love it. I don't think you probably needed that qualification anymore once you've become the biggest girl band in the world. And what about that girl who left to go to uni? She's kicking herself, isn't she?
I think she became a songwriter and went back to uni. And I think, you know.
So you lived together?
Yeah, we did. We all lived together, yeah.
So that's probably the first time you've all moved away from home.
It definitely was mine. And I was the first night this is something that I was very honest about. So it was the first night I got there. I'd met these girls. I shared with Victoria and I was laying in bed and I got really upset because it was my first night away from home ever. And I thought, right, I either lie here and cry on my own or I go and speak to the girls. And I got up and I went and I said, girls, this is my first time away from home. I feel like this is going to be special, but I'm really homesick and I miss my mum and I don't know what to do. And they all just were hugging me. I woke everyone up. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. And I knew that that was kind of our first. I had to be open with them if it was going to be a long lasting friendship.
It'll be so weird for you when your kids reach that like 19 milestone and you can see what happened to you because they will be young. They're young.
I know. But I think, you know, I'm still like that today. I never have that moment with my friend where we don't know. I phone them and go, hey, what's happened?
Oh, no.
What's going on? We need to get this out because. Yeah. I just think that's so important. And again, even with my kids, I'm always really, you know, if mummy's having a down day, because
they know it.
My
and
time
that's
in
okay.
a month, they know it. And I think it's, you know, my mum was like that with me and we're just very open. And I think it helps. If you're honest about why you're feeling like that, for instance, the girls might have thought that they'd upset me or that I was feeling, whereas then they know and then it's comfortable and then you both know kind of where you stand. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, there you go. If you want a perfect advert for why the podcast is called Honestly, that is why. Thank you so much.
It's lovely speaking to you.
So can you tell me a little bit more about Digital Awareness UK, why you started it and how you're working with Vodafone?
Yeah, so we are a company that was founded by my sister Charlotte and I about 8 years ago now. It feels like forever ago, back when we were talking about Facebook and YouTube, which is a bit different from now. We've got a team of wonderful, diverse tech enthusiasts who are on an absolute mission to empower people all around the world, really, to be able to use their technology in a positive, safe way. And we're lucky enough to get the opportunity through the work that we do to speak to hundreds of parents and young people about the opportunities that tech brings our way, some of the challenges that we're seeing a lot in recent times. So the work that we are currently doing is delivering webinars up and down the country to parents, offering that sort of help and support. We're able to support young people through things like ambassador programs and delivering all sorts of different talks and presentations and courses to them. So in a massive nutshell, that's a lot about what we do. But if you go to vodafone.co.uk/digital-parenting, you can find a lot of the kind of tips and advice and videos and all the rest of it that we're giving in this space.
So before I ever do any of these chats, I always like to do a little bit of a survey on Instagram, and 90% of my followers were worried about digital security. And I think, as you say, it's something that's been rumbling for all of us for a while, but the experience of 2020/2021 and continual lockdown is that everything has been like dialed up to 10 on this. You know, we all know we're on screens more than we will ever have been, and that our kids are on screens more than they will ever have been. And it is this double-edged sword, as we already touched on. On the one hand, it's a lifesaver because it enables us to stay in touch, but it is hard to know how to navigate it. And also, as you say, we're learning. What you're doing now might not replicate what you were doing 8 years ago because the landscape changes. What are your pointers with how you begin to navigate that?
I mean, I think it's fair to say for a lot of parents at the moment, getting through the day is an achievement. I mean, we have so much advice for parents. I would definitely say it starts with us a lot of the time. I think modeling the behavior that we want to see. I ran a workshop with some year 10, so maybe 15-year-olds a few months ago. We were talking about online influencers, and I said to the group, who influences you most online? Thinking about, you know, the YouTubers. And this boy said, my dad. And that was like the first answer. He'd completely, you know, misinterpreted what I was asking, but it sparked a really interesting debate about they are looking to us. And if we're going to sleep with our phone next to our pillows, you know, if we're with our families at the dinner table picking up text messages and checking social media, you know, we cannot expect our children to be doing anything different. So I think a good place to start, and it's probably one of the most hardest places to start, but it is looking at ourselves. And then there's some best practice advice around trying to keep meal times and those family times tech-free, you know, just like we'd have no toys at the table, the same with our tech. Mm-hmm. And similarly, you know, trying to wind down before bed without screens and keeping our bedrooms, where possible, tech-free. And I know that for a lot of families, you know, pre-pandemic, we may have had all sorts of rules and expectations in our house, but I appreciated they have evaporated a little bit as we've got devices in every room. My husband's set up in our bedroom, you know, working. So it's not as easy. But I think if you start with the basics, that's a good place, and then build up from there.
And I think actually, as I'm listening to you, I completely agree with all of those points. We have to try and hold ourselves accountable. And the brilliant thing is, I don't know about anyone else's kids, but my children now definitely tell me, you know, if I say to come off the screen, they're like, well, you never do. You're like, yep, I mean, fair point. But in terms of like best practice, as long as we are aware that when and if life gets to something normal, that we're going to try and get back to something else. The problem is these habits creep in, don't they? And they're really hard to step back from, but you just have to try and keep it front of mind, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. And trying to get into those healthy routines can be a bit of a challenge. And Emma and I are so aware from the parents that we speak to that there are so many different parenting styles and cultural nuances that you do have to find what works with your situation, mm-hmm. as with many, you know, many parts of parenting. So if it feels wrong, respond to it. And with the whole habit things, I mean, this is a great time of year to be thinking, what is our New Year's kind of tech resolutions, or what are we going to try? But I think baby steps and intention is really important at the moment. Yeah. And I also think this is why we shouldn't, as parents, give ourselves too much of a hard time with all of this, because we are very much the kind of guinea pig generation. And we definitely will look back and laugh. But also, we're trying to make the best of these opportunities. But especially with COVID, I saw a crazy stat that was saying something like children's screen time has gone up 500%, which doesn't surprise me. And we talk a lot about what the legacies of COVID will be. And I think we'll learn a lot. And especially for those of us who have allowed the older generations within the families, grandparents, for example, to, you know, get all over Zoom and FaceTime. And that's actually opened up a whole new fantastic world for them that, that perhaps they never had access to before. So we're very much guinea pigs and we're kind of learning as we go. But I think on the most part, we're doing quite well.
Yeah. And also there's screen time and there's screen time, isn't there? You know, like I've got a daughter who's almost three and my niece is almost three and they managed to play hide and seek over Zoom at the weekend. And it's like, very, very sweet to witness. They kind of figured out how to make that happen with me and my sister moving the screens around. Although there's a screen involved, it is very close to a form of play.
And I think for us over the past 8 years, the question we've been asked the most by parents is how much screen time should I be giving my child every day? And it would be incredibly helpful if we had the answer. But the current kind of consensus is that the screen itself isn't inherently bad for us. When used at certain times in the day, it's kind of what it takes away from. And a lot of us are striving towards balance at the moment. And when screen starts to take away from those critical moments, like having good sleep, you know, being active, that's when the balance starts to tip. So we always try and encourage families not to focus on time too much, but also think about what is it taking away from and what would they be doing if they weren't watching, you know, Peppa Pig or playing FIFA and trying to think of it that way instead.
I think that is it. It's when you're blocking something out or missing out on something, then it's bad. If it's an active engagement, then it's just a new medium, isn't it? Mm. And that's fine. The reason why screens at the dinner table feels uncomfortable is because, yeah, you're missing out on a really vital piece of connection and time as a family. Another thing that Emma and I talked about was one of her children is on a private account and that felt right for them. Are there any things that we can learn about how we begin to navigate that space?
It's really interesting because on platforms like Instagram, for example, we know from speaking to a lot of young people that they tend to have a few accounts for different audiences, which we always feel is quite clever. So a lot of them will have a private account for, you know, friends, people that they know, and then a public account, which is how they want to be seen by the rest of the world. And sometimes they'll have fan accounts and other accounts. But I think young people are a lot smarter than we sometimes give them credit for. And I think they think about who they're sharing it with versus, you know, what they're sharing, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah,
on their public accounts, a lot of them won't necessarily be sharing where they live or pictures of them in their school uniform. Sometimes it's a lot more thoughtfully created and thought about. And then on their private accounts, they may share that little bit more. Whereas I don't know for you, but on Facebook, sometimes I go to share something, but I'm aware that I've got old colleagues and current colleagues and like someone that I went to school with that I've not seen since then. And I go and send it. And I just think, do you know what? I don't want to be sharing this with all of these people. Whereas young people sometimes decompartmentalize their audiences in a way that I think is incredibly clever and us as adults could really, really learn from. But privacy is incredibly important. We know that things like live streaming, for example, is getting increasingly more popular. So we are always pushing the message of be careful not to overshare. I mean, it does sometimes feel a bit unfair that we're putting so much pressure on these young people to think like adults. And it's important that they know that future employers could see what you posted and you might not get into university. And, you know, if you want to be an MP one day, someone might have a look at something that you posted on Instagram 20 years ago and all this sort of stuff. Certain parts of their brains haven't formed yet to allow them to think in a way that's, you know, that's so long term. They are still children at the end of the day. And I think we do need to
to acknowledge that, and we're giving them access to something and then expecting them to think about reputation management when they're only 10 years old. But then when it comes to us as parents being really kind of critical and judgmental that they haven't acted like a 30-year-old, I think that's when we need to kind of wake up a bit.
Yeah, there's so much to be said for that, isn't there? And as we've acknowledged, these things do change, both in terms of timeline. You know, when Time Hop on Facebook brings up your status updates from whenever, 10 years ago, and you're like, what on earth, Clemmy Telford is ... something excruciating. I mean, what, when you said, why would I put that out in the world? Nobody cares. But it's what you did. It's what you did. Maybe it'll all come back. Maybe we'll like go full circle on this. I don't know. But you can do is learn. And again, trusting your instincts of going, yeah, I got that wrong. Maybe talk about why I got it wrong. The problem is these platforms really celebrate kind of openness and oversharing and putting it all at hanging your dirty washing in public a bit, don't they? That really does get traction, but it's, you can't take it back. But I'm really passionate about technology because of everything that it brings us and the world it exposes us to in the best possible sense. You know, when I was young, I'd only really been exposed to one version of what people's body shape looked like. And if they basically, do I look like someone else in my school? Otherwise, I feel different. Now you see all kinds of body shape and you see all kinds of people from different backgrounds. And those are hugely positive things.
I think what's also something that's really lovely that we've seen coming through over the last year is that young people are finding their voice. Digital activism has been massive. We've seen teens really fighting for people to raise money for the NHS, for the Black Lives Matter movement, for, you know, talking about the US elections, talking about all sorts of different things that are going on. They're finding their voice. And I think that's something that we really never had. And even if we did have those sorts of feelings, it's very different kind of creating posters and standing up in assembly. It's just saying, you know, this is what I believe in. I want people to know about climate change. And we're seeing so much of that from this generation. So there are so many huge positives to take.
Yeah. And as we keep coming back to it, is we worry about them, but really there's a massive, massive part of this, which is being conscious of ourselves. I really believe that, our own digital behaviour.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how this next generation parents, because they'll be well aware of where the pitfalls are and what the opportunities look like. And I think it'll be interesting to see how all of that gets passed on, because it'll be very different from the approach that we've had to all of this as the true guinea pigs.
But they'll be so good at dancing, what with all the TikTok.
I know. I mean, that is it. I love TikTok to look at, but it was so obvious to me so quickly that this was not my platform. You know, I cannot sing and I can't dance. So this is time to go, this is where the line is for me. We touched on a bit about the idea of a digital pact. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
So that also can be accessed at vodafone.co.uk/digital-parenting. The family pledge was designed as a tool that not just parents, you know, whole families can log on to this. They can access the tool and they work through four kind of really fun sections. You know, you talk about things from gaming through to bullying. And then you come to an agreement as a family at the end of it as to what your pledge is going to be. So it's basically giving you an incentive to have those difficult conversations that you perhaps didn't want to have, or to agree on some of the things that you've been kind of to and froing on. And I think for parents, you know, setting boundaries, it's so stressful when you haven't agreed on what is and isn't okay. As soon as you've agreed that, you know what, text out of bedrooms. But yeah, as soon as you come to agreements on exactly what the family should and shouldn't be doing, it makes everything a lot easier because then you have the grounds to say, do you know what? We sat down, we did the pledge together. We all kind of agreed this. We all felt good about it. So what happened here? So it's just a really fun, you know, series of questions, bit of a quiz in there to allow you to have those big conversations.
Kids really do react well to those kind of boundaries, and fair enough, actually, because otherwise, maybe this is just me, but as a parent, you can be aware that you're shifting your own rules all the time, and you're like, I know that I'm changing this all the time, so of course they're not going to believe it. Whereas if you've been through that process together, hopefully Yeah, as you said, we've got people something to work off.
And it's really funny when, even in our workshops, we'll say to young people, you know, how long do you think you should spend on social media or leisure screen time a day? Actually, their responses tend to be a lot harsher than perhaps the limits that you would set as a parent. Because when you have to say it out loud, it sounds ridiculous to say, I think that you should be having 4 hours on TikTok a day. You probably say something like maybe an hour or so.
Do you know what? It reminds me of trying to navigate getting them to eat healthy. I really found that if I'm trying to get them to eat broccoli, for example, if I let them choose their portion of broccoli, it usually ends up working out quite well, because I would actually never have given you that amount, but you've chosen it.
I know Charlotte, she's got this mantra of they teach, we guide. And I do really love that, because I think you also have the opportunity to say to your child, it's really interesting. How does this work? Tell me about it. Teach me about it. And as they're teaching you and telling you the stuff that you'll probably never figure out on your own, you are able, with your critical thinking brain, say, that's really interesting. So, you know, what if someone you didn't know clicked on that? Or what's this over there? And kind of be a bit inquisitive about it. And that's another fantastic way to have the conversation.
Yeah, that seems like very solid advice. Is there anything that we could all do very easily today, tomorrow, to help improve?
I guess one of the biggest insights for me that I've picked up is that, you know, a lot of the issues that children come up against online are quite old world kind of issues around bullying and self-esteem and that sort of thing. We have a lot of value to give our children when it comes to managing those sorts of things, because we probably have experiences ourselves. But I do feel that it's the connection you have with your child that should really be worked on with all of this, because your child will come across content that makes them feel uncomfortable. Maybe they will more than likely experience online bullying. And when those things happen, what we want is for them to make a beeline for us. When we speak to kids that are 10, 11 years old, that is the point in my experience where we'll say, if you went through this experience, or you felt upset because of this message you received or what was happening online, what would you do? And it's at that age where they start to say things like, I would manage it on my own. And when we really tap into that, some of the reasons for that are things like, my parent would overreact, or they'd take my tech away, or they wouldn't understand. And just because it's happening on TikTok, that doesn't mean that we don't know what it feels like to be bullied. So I think having those regular conversations, making it part of your family to talk about these sorts of things so that they know they can come to you when they have those sorts of challenges. And like you said, be really open about the positives and the opportunities as well.
And then in terms of the future, of zoning out what we're going through, what are the kind of exciting or challenging things that you're working on or looking to?
I think this is an incredibly challenging time for every single person, but it's also a huge opportunity for us to really look critically and evaluate the relationships that we have with technology. For us as an organization, you know, we've always been on a mission to encourage people to think about how they can use tech in a positive way. But it's almost a lot easier now for us to have those sorts of conversations because we're so heavily reliant on it. So for us as an organization, our absolute mission is going to be to hold people's hands and support them through those experiences. We're lucky to be able to do that with Vodafone. We're lucky that week in, week out, we're having these conversations through our webinars, through the workshops, through the online courses and everything else that we're delivering. I would really encourage anybody who's listening, have these conversations, whether it happens through Vodafone's Digital Family Pledge, go to the website and just check out the blog posts. You can access the magazines. There's so much information out there for parents to have access to help them to have those sorts of conversations. So use it now. This is your time to have those conversations, to get yourselves in check so that we can come out of this in a really positive and informed place.
Thank you so much, ladies. I feel inspired and reassured. I think it's so easy when something feels a bit daunting just to go in this spiral of panicking and thinking, I know I want to do something, but I don't know what, whereas this feels really actionable.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts. So please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.